Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well. We'd like to give a quick shout out to Campbellsville, Kentucky.
All right. Campbellsville. Yes. I've been through there before.
I think I probably have because I might have been with you. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. You can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645, or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org.
Yeah.
All right. What you got?
Well, the Bluegrass State, Kentucky.
Kentucky. Beautiful place. That's where both of our kids were born. Same hospital. Mm-hmm. All that. Yeah. Cool.
What's more unbelievable than a talking dog?
I don't know what.
A spelling bee.
Where do you find these things?
I've got another one. What do you call a cow with no legs? Ground beef.
Oh, that's so sad. I want a cow. Are you going to get me a cow for Mother's Day?
Nope.
No. Maybe next Mother's Day?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Cool. 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 Well, this day in history, today when we are recording, is April the 22nd, 2024. And in 1500, Pedro Alvarez Cabral, probably hacked up that, discovered Brazil and claimed it for Portugal. Wow. And in 1994, Richard Nixon died of a stroke at the age of 81. Mm-hmm. And on this day in 1970, the first Earth Day was observed. Hmm. All right.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. So what's our topic?
We're going to talk about Peter. We're going to kind of do a little study on the disciples.
He was one of my favorite disciples, I think.
Yeah.
He was always sticking his foot in his mouth, and I kind of often do that, I think.
Well, Peter's original name is Simon Peter.
Simon.
He often went by Peter, and sometimes he went by Simon, son of Jonah.
Okay.
Or John.
Okay.
That was his father. We don't know anything about really his father.
Okay.
But that was his name.
Gotcha.
Simon means listener. Maybe that's why Jesus changed his name.
Because he didn't seem to listen very well, did he?
We'll get to that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of funny. I didn't realize that.
He had a brother named Andrew.
Yes.
And Andrew was the one who brought Simon Peter, to Jesus.
Oh, nice.
And Andrew was the first one chosen by God.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Andrew was one that was always bringing people to Jesus.
And that's how we all should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter was a fisherman by trade and worked alongside his brothers, Andrew, and partners, James and John. You know what James and John's nickname was?
Sons of Thunder.
You know why?
Because they had anger issues?
They had some anger issues.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, John would be called the beloved. The major verb that he would use is love.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
Fishing was a common profession in the region of Galilee where Peter and his family lived.
Cool. Very cool.
It was also, what language do you think they spoke?
Hebrew, Aramaic.
Well, Aramaic.
Ah.
And probably a little Hebrew.
Okay.
Aramaic was kind of a Semitic language.
Right.
It was closely related to Hebrew, but was widely used in daily communication. They would have known Hebrew a little bit.
Right, right.
Because of the synagogues and what have you.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They probably spoke Hebrew in the synagogue.
And Greek. Greek would have been, especially as fishermen.
Okay.
Greek was used all over the Roman Empire.
Ah.
Specifically for the upper class, but also commerce.
Yeah, they had to trade and sell and all that. So they'd have to know that to be able to do that. Interesting. Okay.
Probably a little Latin too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they knew that, but there would have been a little Latin.
Right.
Because Latin was spoken by 90% of the Roman Empire.
Wow. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Learned something today.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were the lower class.
Right.
Latin people.
Okay.
Latin speakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So encountering Jesus, well, you know, backing up, Peter was married.
Mm-hmm.
How did we know he was married? Because, go ahead and read Matthew 8:14-15.
When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law, there it is, lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her and she got up and began to wait on him.
Well, we know Peter was a good guy. I mean, he liked his mother-in-law.
Yes, he did.
Well, he brought Jesus to his mother-in-law, who was really, really sick.
Yeah, so he had to,
and he had to be married.
Yeah, right, to have a mother-in-law.
And Jesus healed her, and it wasn't any like, I'm feeling a little bit better. Maybe I'll go. She got right up and started
serving. She popped right up, fed him food, everything.
I mean, this was, she only had a couple of lines, a couple of scriptures written about her.
Yeah, but you can tell she was very, she was a good woman.
You can tell a lot by
taking care of people and everything.
You will see later that, you know, Peter would bring in his ministry after, you know, Jesus' ascension and Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
She would travel with him.
Mm, okay.
All over. She would even be crucified.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tradition says that.
Peter's mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want to give that away yet. That's towards the end.
Oh.
Well, since I brought it
up. Since you brought it up, you got to finish it.
Peter and his wife, tradition says that Peter and his wife were crucified, and Peter was crucified upside down because he did not feel privileged enough to be crucified like his Lord.
Okay. Interesting.
Interesting stuff. Encounter with Jesus. Peter's first encounter with Jesus was with Andrew's brother in John 1, 40 through 42. And Jesus immediately recognized Peter's potential and his significance. You know, that tells me a lot there. He would declare Peter, that he would be the rock. Peter would be rock. That's what it means, Petros.
Yes.
Which he would build his church. Now, this is not talking, as the Roman Catholic Church is saying.
Right.
That, well, see, Peter's building the church on him. No, there's two different words here, Petros and Petras.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's saying, you know, Peter, mm-hmm. Petros, you know, you're going to help build the church on me.
Okay.
But he obviously saw something in Peter
mm-hmm.
that Peter maybe didn't see in himself.
And isn't that like God? He finds things in us and brings it to light. And that's what he did with so many people in the Bible. And that's, I know he's done it with me.
Yeah. I mean, over and over again, he, you know, we don't see it in us.
Right.
But God can see it in us because he's the creator. We are the clay. Mm-hmm. He is the potter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things when we don't see it, that's how he gets glory because he's doing it all.
Agreed.
Yeah. Peter also asked very quizzical questions
mm-hmm.
to Jesus in the Bible.
Right.
It kind of reflected curiosity, eagerness to learn, desire to understand the teachings. One of them is in Matthew 19:27.
Go
ahead and read 27, Matthew 19:27 through 30.
Okay. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first."
So Peter asked this profound question that everyone else was thinking.
Right.
Peter spoke.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lord, we left our families, we left our jobs, we left our comforts, we left everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Jesus just comes right out. He says, yeah, man, you know, you're going to be sitting down by the Son of Man.
Right.
You're going to be judging. You're going to have your own throne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that and then he says something to all of us. Anyone that's left
mm-hmm.
houses.
Right.
Brothers, yes. sisters, yes. father, mother, on account of me,
mm-hmm.
will receive 100-fold in eternity.
Love it.
Yeah, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
And so Matthew 18:21-22, Peter asked another very interesting question.
Okay, Matthew 18:21-22.
And I think as you're looking there, Peter was one that often stuck his foot in his mouth, but at least he was bold, and he really, really really wanted to learn more things.
He was kind of like a conversation starter.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.
So Jesus, you know, the Jews had a magical number of how many times they would forgive. Mm-hmm. It was three strike rule. One strike, I forgive you. Two, yeah. Three. But Peter even added one.
Right.
You know, yeah. He even added some. But he thought he would impress Jesus. But Jesus said, there's 770. That's an infinite number. It's the highest number
right.
within Greek.
Oh, okay.
And so Jesus is saying it's even greater than that. But see, they would not have known that unless Peter asked the question.
I know. I love it. He was always asking really good questions to the people were thinking them. He just did it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Matthew 26, 33 through 35.
Okay. Matthew 26,
33 through 35. All right. This is very interesting.
Peter replied, "Even if I fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
So this is one of Peter's sad moments that Jesus yeah. had. Jesus knew.
Right.
And that he, you know, Peter said, "I'll even die for you, Lord."
And I really honestly yeah. think that Peter thought at that moment he really
I
would.
Do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
But.
And then he would, when the cock crowed
mm-hmm.
Those three times, he would do that.
They would deny him.
And, you know, Peter went back to his old life. He went did. Back to fishing. He was drinking.
Well, he was ashamed. Ashamed.
He had a lot of shame.
He did.
But what's interesting here is Jesus could have said, "You know, loser, mm-hmm. you know, you failed."
Right.
But Peter was more hard on himself than Jesus was on him.
Yeah. Well, Jesus even sought him out.
Yeah. And he would reaffirm his calling.
Yes, he would.
And he would say, "Do you love me?"
Mm-hmm.
He would use, you know, the word agape.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would do that twice. "Do you love me?"
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, he said, "Do you phileo me?"
Mm-hmm.
And that means a friendship type of love.
Right.
And he said, "Of course I do." He said, "Go feed my sheep."
So he denied him three times. And then Jesus reaffirms that he loves him three times.
This was to reverse the shame that he was facing.
Yeah.
You know, I think Peter even had some OCD.
I think so.
I think he was thinking over and over, going through that very moment.
Right. How could I do that?
He did every moment where that servant looked at him.
Yeah.
"You sound like a Galilean." "No, I don't even know him."
Right.
And all the times he rejected, I think he went over and over.
I think he did. He had to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Jesus was reaffirming his calling, and mm-hmm. he was reminding him who Jesus is and that he's forgiven him.
Amen.
And who he is in Christ.
Love
it. And then he says, "Go serve."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
John 13:6-9.
Okay.
This is interesting too. Another question that Peter poses to Jesus.
John 13:6-9, said? Okay. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Just wash me all over, Jesus."
Yeah, I mean, Peter was so, he really loved the Lord.
He was.
I mean, he was the one that came out on the boat.
Yeah.
And when he was walking on water, he walked on
water.
He
stepped out.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he was, we could say, yeah, he was sticking his foot in his mouth. Yeah, you know, But he was a man that was seeking Jesus's heart.
He was, and he truly, truly loved him.
I think I'm kind of yeah. like Peter's.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I see it. Yeah.
And that washing is not the literal water. He's talking about the washing of the mm-hmm. blood of Christ on the cross.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, the role as a disciple, Peter's role as a disciple, Peter became one of Jesus' closest disciples and was mm-hmm. present for many of the events of Jesus' ministry.
True.
He witnessed miracles, teachings, interactions with all kinds of people.
Yeah, the transfiguration.
He was the one that,
right,
in Gethsemane, when Judas kissed him and he went to arrest Jesus, he took out his sword, cut one of the guard's ears off.
Right.
But he was aiming at the head, so he wasn't a good
He missed.
Peter, really. And he was among the disciples who were sent out to preach, perform miracles during his ministry.
Right. Really cool.
Confession and failures. We talked about a couple, but he's known for being bold, but impulsive.
True. True.
He spoke his mind and often acted without forethought.
Right.
And, you know, he is also the one in Matthew 16, 13 through 20, who famously confessed, Jesus said, "Who am I?" He said, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." But he was also the one that would say, you know, tell Jesus that he wasn't going to die on the cross.
Right.
And Jesus would say, "Get behind me, Satan."
True, true.
Yeah. Post-resurrection experiences with Peter. Peter played a central role in the early Christian community. He witnessed the risen Christ. Him and John, when they heard about Jesus resurrecting from the women, it talks about how John outran Peter. John was younger and better shape.
Probably so,
But John was scared to go into the tomb, and Peter kept running. Went straight.
He came right on in. Yep.
And he was among the disciples gathered in Jerusalem on Pentecost.
Right.
He would be the one at Pentecost that would preach 3,000 people. That'd be about 9,000, 10,000 people
would
come in the faith
by
his. And many people, I had a professor said his sermon wasn't that good. But it doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter. God used it. Yeah. Amen.
Leadership in the church. He was one of the prominent leaders and apostles in the early Christian community.
Yeah.
He played a major role in the church. He wrote two letters.
Right.
And Peter was a major individual, disciple.
Absolutely. He was. Did great things. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Martyrdom. Now, we get into it. I kind of shared a little bit, but martyrdom, tradition holds Peter was eventually martyred in Rome during the persecution of Christians under Emperor Nero. In his writings, Peter mentioned several times to submit to the king.
Ah.
Don't protest it.
Right.
And he was specifically talking about Nero.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was talking about fiery trials. And probably referring to this time in the Roman history of Nero and the fires. This was a very important thing indeed. According to tradition, Peter was crucified upside down, as I mentioned, with his wife. Because he was considered unworthy to die like his Savior.
Correct. Yeah.
At the end of John's gospel, Jesus says something that indicates the way he would die. "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and that you do not want to go, take you to where you do not want to go." Yeah. So we talked about some things we can learn about Peter. I think we can learn faith and trust.
Yes.
What do you think we can learn about faith and trust with Peter?
Well, you know, Peter did have that impulsivity, but he also was always the first to jump out and say, "Hey, Jesus, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, Jesus, you want me to walk on water? Here I come.
Yeah.
Jesus, I'll go to the cross for you." So he was the one that raised his hand first to do things. And, you know, I want to be like that.
You know, those kids in class that are always, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was like in elementary school, there was always some.
Yeah.
Peter would have been one of those.
He would have been one of those. Yeah. He would have.
Repentance and forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Peter's denial of Jesus before his crucifixion serves an example of human weakness.
Yeah. And it also serves an example of how Jesus forgives.
Yeah, and how he can forgive us.
Yes.
Jesus is, seeks our heart. He seeks our repentance.
Right.
Courage and witnessing. There was a guy that, was a sorcerer. And he was trying to swindle the gospel. I think it was Simeon, the sorcerer.
Yeah.
Simon the sorcerer.
Simon the sorcerer, yeah.
And, Peter just looked at him and, really said, looked him in the face and told him what to do.
Yeah.
He needed
to
repent.
Right. Very bold. Very bold.
Stood up in Pentecost. He spoke boldly about Jesus.
Yes.
And he would die a horrific death.
Right.
Humility. Mm-hmm. Teachability.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think Peter learned that. I don't think that came natural for him.
No, you kind of see the progression throughout Jesus's ministry of how he finally achieves that, I think.
So what do you think of old Pete?
Like I said in the beginning, he's one of my favorites of the disciples because he loved with all he had. And yes, he ended up sticking his foot in his mouth, but still he was willing to share his thoughts. And Jesus loved him.
Yes.
Just like he loves us.
And I think this is the perfect illustration of how God can take a mess, turn to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.